With a heavy heart, I bring you episode 1146 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, September 15th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. On the tech side of the show tonight, we're going to talk about iOS 10 and some of the things that have happened there. T-Mobile making a recommendation not to update to iOS 10. We're going to talk about Snowden and pardons. And we're going to talk about a variety of other tech content. But I want to welcome all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. This is going to be a little different show tonight. I have a little bit to talk to you about the passing of my mother-in-law, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. So if you're brand new to the show, if this is your first time, this show's not normally go down like this, but tonight it is. We always spend a little bit of time at the very beginning of the show talking about topics at hand and things for the Ohana, things for the family. And tonight we're just going to go a little bit deeper. But if you're new, thanks for sticking around and hanging out with me here. But you can visit geeknewscentral.com, and I encourage you to do so. And when you get over there, you can... Whoops, I didn't have the page turned on. When you visit geeknewscentral.com, you can subscribe to the show on the website. And there's a variety of options there for you to do so. Let's see if I can get things going here. And then there's a newsletter link as well, so that you can sign up for the newsletter. There we go. And see if I can bring the page up now. There. Oops. Too many buttons and not enough hands. But again, you can subscribe on Android via email and Google Play and Stitcher on TuneIn via RSS feed. You can, again, sign up for the newsletter on the website. And, of course, don't miss any of the single great articles that our content creators are putting out on a daily basis. So lots of stuff to choose from on the website. And we want to make sure you get over there. Don't forget our partner shows as well, with the new media show, Pro Gear Guru site, the Gadget Professor, Health Tech Weekly, No Better Than Average, and of course the new podcast Legends show. So all those shows are accessible via geeknewscentral.com. If you've got comments on today's show, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, you know, this show really is accessible almost any place. So you can watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel. You can play it on Apple TV. You can listen to the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. Listen on Stitcher, watch or view on Blueberry.com. So lots of places to catch the show and get caught up with. As you can tell, I'm a little bit out of sync tonight. And mind not 100% on the show at this very moment in Japan. My wife and daughter are laying my wife's mother to rest, and I want to talk a little bit about that process tonight. For those of you that may have been following Facebook, you probably saw that I had posted some pictures online with essentially the her mother laying, essentially, I don't know what the best word to say is, but laying in state in their family home. But the Japanese are very steeped in tradition. You look at how long the Japanese history is and how far back it goes. You know, those of us that live here in the United States, we have our traditions as well, but nowhere's near deep of a cultural type of... tradition as we do. But Tuesday, this past Tuesday at 2 o'clock my time, 9 a.m. Japan time, I was informed that Shoko's mother had died. Shoko at the time was in her class at Hawaiian Airlines, having gotten back Monday morning. This is again Tuesday afternoon, and I immediately started texting really everyone that was a family member that would probably be in the know in the next hour and a half or 2 hours. I said, do not text Shoko or call her phone. And my main thing was to let her finish up being in class that day, and then I knew she was going to check her phone immediately as class was finishing, and I was there in the parking lot ready to pick her up. So when class was ending, I had texted her and let her know that I'm in the parking lot and to come immediately. Well, by the time she got to the car, I already knew she knew. I bundled her up, got her in the vehicle, and we went and picked up Chris and proceeded straight home. Meanwhile, her phone simply exploded. I had done some calling already, informing family members, and we kind of crossed list, and you know, we knew this was coming. It's been coming for a while. Her mother was given essentially 30 days 6 months ago, and when she was there with her, and the last night that she was in town, because you know, essentially, Shoko had initially planned on going there. They thought they were in the last hours when she had left to fly out, and she decided to come home because we didn't know how long this was going to continue through. And sure enough, the time came a lot quicker than, or a lot sooner than we assumed it would. But she had initially thought that she would not go back for the funeral. I had some misgivings about that, but she was really set on doing the, being able to get through the 2 weeks of the Hawaiian Airlines class. So anyway, we got home, and I basically told her in the car, I said, I really want you to think hard about this decision not to go to the funeral. I said, I'm going to respect your decision, but, I really want you to think about this. And, I got home and I checked the airlines, and there was, I still have, like, at the time I had 700,000 frequent flyer miles. So it's not like I can't get her home easily. Just, you know, it's, use miles on tickets or just buy her a ticket. But, went and checked, and there was award miles available, and I immediately booked Anna because Anna said she wanted to go back. So I had Anna booked by 5, and I'm like, she, you know, hemmed, hawed, and thought about it and talked to aunties, uncles that are here in Hawaii. At I think midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up at 4, and if you know, we talked about all of us going back, and that was kind of what I had planned. I thought that was, you know, the right decision. So we, I woke up at, I think 4:15. And, she'd gotten Chris out of bed, and, she was talking to him because this is 4:15, 4:30 is our normal rollout time. I said, so are we going? Because the flight leaves at 10:50. I need to book these tickets before we lose all the seats because they were already not assigning seats. And she says, yep, we're all going to go. I'm saying, okay, fantastic. I was going to cancel the other travel that I had arranged for leaving this Saturday. Came into the studio, got on the computer, and the computer was locked up. I mean, locked up like a drum. And I'm like, really? You're locked up? So, you know, I pressed reset on the computer, thinking, oh, 10 minutes, I'll be back up. And like 45 minutes later, the computer finally is available. It did a bunch of updates, reboots. I have no idea, to be honest with you. But in the meantime, in that 45 minutes, the plan changed 3 times. And Chris had some statewide or something testing going on this week. Long story short, and my son's, I told you about this before, my son's passport was an issue. And I finally said, listen, I said, I'll take care of Chris, make sure he gets his stuff done at school. You and Anna, go. So that's what we decided on. And she flew out at 10:50. Her and Anna got to sit together on the flight out, which was good. They got into Okinawa at 9 p.m., last evening, which would have been 3 a.m. in the morning here, so they had a long day. So when I saw the pictures that had been taken from a little bit of a distance in the tatami room where they've set up the altar and brought Shoko's mother home, I could tell my wife was pretty tired just by the look on her face. And, of course, everything going on emotionally. But I want to just kind of share with you guys, those of you that haven't been here, you know, we've been through this three times with Shoko's brother's death. Right around the time this show started, I don't know if that was ever, if I ever shared that, what happened there, her father's death about 5 years ago. Of course, we've been through this with my dad's death on episode 200. So, you know, you guys been through a few family things with me here. So the Japanese, for a better word, are accountable. And there's some strict reasonings for how things are done. And maybe you guys will kind of understand the process. And so it's very much different than here in the United States. Here in the United States, if you pass in a hotel, you know, they let the family in, you know, you get your time with the loved one. And then, you know, kind of like the body gets picked up and taken to the mortuary. And, you know, the next time you see your loved one is in a casket, right? Gone through the embalming process and the whole nine yards. You know, we're not subjected to what takes place after someone dies. But in Japan, you escort. You go with the body to, typically it's a room, a specific room set up for a mortuary service to come in. They are very discreet. Very professional in what they do. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Families typically use the same mortuary service, just like here. You know, the family member makes a phone call. The mortuary service is waiting. In Shoko's mother's situation, she had already picked out and laid out and told her daughters which kimono she wanted to be buried in or to be cremated in. And so one of the sisters had that with her. Now, I'm just going by past experience here and kind of telling you the process. So at least one family member, adult family member, is with the deceased at all times. 100%, 100% accountability for the remains is in the family members, it's their responsibility. So, and it'll make more understanding why here a little bit later, but the mortuary company comes in. It's not like you're standing there and you watch your loved one getting dressed, for a better word. They are very discreet on what they do. They bring a sheet in and they clean the body and get everything ready to go so that they're dressed, transferred into a very simple but elegant casket of some of sorts. And from that point, they pack the casket per se, or the vessel, with dry ice, with cold packs. And in most Japanese homes, there's a tatami room. That tatami room serves as a place for the family altar, sleeping room, a variety of functionalities, first introductions during marriages. All this kind of stuff happens in those rooms. It's a very multi-purpose functional room. It's like a family room that we would have here. And while this has all been happening at the hospital, the mortuary team has been at the house setting up everything. Now, one thing that the family does immediately is every picture in the home that has a face is immediately covered up. So the mortuary brings paper and all pictures are taped over. And I don't understand the full significance of this, but essentially there are no pictures with faces on it that you can see anywhere that gets taped up. The mortuary company takes care of everything in the tatami room, gets it set up. They bring in the prearranged colors and set up. And by the time everything is done, the family's about rolling in with the deceased. And they bring the deceased right into the family home, right into the tatami room. They set it up. They have incense burning and offerings. And from that point forward, the mortuary people get the hell out of the way. They get everything set up, and you know when they're going to be back. And they may check in on you once or twice, maybe replacing cold packs, depending on how long the body's going to lay in state. So from that point, really, so a senior family member stayed with the deceased entire time, got to the house, and then really until the family and the deceased goes to the crematorium, there is a person that's awake 24/7, tending to the incense, tending to make sure everything's fine with the deceased. So it really, it isn't maybe moments after you have gotten everything set up and the deceased is in the home and your friends, family members, coworkers, people that you've known for years, they're coming in, and it's visitation. Typically, the morning before the day Shoko got in, probably starting at like 7 a.m. all the way maybe up until 10 o'clock, people were coming and visiting, and the family has to take care of the guests that come by. They're served tea and a light refreshment. Each get an individual tray. The kitchen is usually got the cousins and everyone's, you know, basically taking care of the guests that are coming in, while the senior family members, whether it be the daughters and brothers and or the brothers and sisters, are talking with people who are coming in, and usually the younglings take care of the handling of taking care of the guests. So that continues straight through until it's time to go to the crematory. And this is what totally blew me away, because I had not experienced this with her brother. I had only experienced this with her father. I don't remember the reasoning. Either I was taking care of kids. I don't know. I can't remember why the first time, but you go to the place where the cremation is going to happen. And usually there's a, depending on the religion of the person involved, there's either the priest there or there's, a Buddhist monk, whatever it may be, and not a monk. It's a little different in Japan. But there's someone there that they bring in, and there are prayers said and, incense lit, and it's a full on basically it's for honoring the dead. Nothing, the family is really, this is not where the family are making any comments or anything like that, but the entire family that can be there is there. Aunts, uncles, cousins, the little, you know, it's the whole clan. They're there with you. And the senior family member, usually the senior male, and two other family members accompany the body at the last to the place where they induct the body for cremation. Now, again, it's about this accountability thing, right? So when you go to the location where the vessel is going to be put in the cremation area, family members there, it goes in, they close the door, there's a lock and a mechanism, a key is pulled out, the key is handed to this senior family member. Basically, that section is locked, it can't be unlocked, and the senior family member starts the cremation process by pressing the start button. You then retire to an area where there's where the families are separating. Basically, you have your own area. This is a 3-hour process, essentially. After the cremation has been complete, you then, the three family members, off they go again, and they go to the other side of the crematory and unlock the crematory, and the body is brought out, cremated on a stone slab, because the vessel has burnt, everything has. So what you have then is a lot of bone fragments, like the big, like leg femurs and stuff. There might be some pieces that are still together. Usually there's not a lot left of the skull. Maybe there's a little bit of the cranium left. But then this is where it gets real interesting, is they bring in, the family comes in to this area, and they have the urn, and you start at the toes, and you basically, they have special wooden chopsticks, and you pick the bone fragments up and put it into the urn from feet to the top of the cranium. So they're essentially, when they go into the urn, they end up standing up. That's the bones going feet first all the way up. And usually at the end, and sometimes you have a, and I'm sorry I'm being graphic here, but sometimes you have a femur, and you have to hold it up and tap it lightly to be able to, it you know, it crumbles, to be able to get it into the urn. And in the end, the urn is very full, and they cap it, seal it, put it in a special box, wrap it up, and then the senior family member that, and lineage-wise, who is in charge of the crypt, takes possession of the urn. And typically the urn is brought back to the family home for at least a day. And this is typically when the neighbors come out, and there's like a small procession to a certain extent, bringing the body back to the house. Sometimes it'll go a day before they have a external ceremony someplace, or they'll do it small one in the house. People come in again, give respects, burn incense. There's a process to that. And then the family takes the urn to the family crypt. So, and the family crypts can cost as much as a regular house. And in Shoko's family's instance, I believe her father, her two brothers, who preceded the mom and father in death, and I think there's four family members now in the crypt. So in the, you know, often see in America where people end up with a small set of ashes, and the Japanese, I don't know what how it is, but the urns are much bigger. And but in this whole entire process, it's been about accountability to make sure that you end up with your loved one, that you're walking out of there with you know, the person that, or the deceased that you brought with you. So anyway, that's, you know, about the, you know, and then there's ongoing, it's they don't have necessarily like a reception, but they have you know, after interment, they have things going on at the house where people come in, family members again coming, giving condolences. Then there's 1st day, 7th day, 14th, no, 7, 14, 28, and then all the way out to the 49th day. There are certain things that happen during the process. But during this entire time, for 49 days, the household is officially in a state of mourning, and kids do not be goofing off. I mean, it is like, you do not, You know, there's no squabbling, there's no fighting, there's no yelling, there's no running, there's no, it is subdued and enforced heavily. But the, you know, going back just a little bit to where, and I'm going to, geez, I'm going to burn through a bunch of the show tonight here, but the, you know, if I go back to when Shoko and I first were dating, there was Japanese couples, and we were not a Japanese couple. We were a Japanese-American couple. I was a secret, and in most Japanese relationships, the boyfriend is secret and the girlfriend is secret. There's not a lot of, there's no discussion being made because it is bad form to bring home a boyfriend that is not at the point of where the one or the other has decided this person is it and this is leading towards marriage. There's no, you know, it's no casual boyfriend, girlfriend, family relationships. It doesn't happen. In most cases, sometimes the family members are shocked that their daughter or son is dating maybe who they are dating. So when the news broke that Shoko and I were dating, and when her mother and father kind of figured it out, I guess, the first time I came to the house, I'll never forget it my whole life. I was in the living room, sitting on the couch, and her father was reading the Nippon Times, and I think he read the newspaper 5 times. He refused to acknowledge or even look at me, and I sat there for hours. And I knew the drill. I figured if he probably figured if this guy's got enough gumption to stay as long as he's staying and sit there and wait to be acknowledged, maybe he's serious. Maybe he won't go away. In the meantime, her mother and I, and Shoko's mother could speak a fair amount of English. And the reason for that is Shoko's mother has brothers and sisters here in Hawaii. That's a story in itself that I won't get into. But, you know, Shoko's mom was, she had a tough childhood. Post-World War II in Okinawa was not pretty. The economy was not good. And occupied by the United States. And the GIs at that time, there was a lot of discrimination. It wasn't pleasant. And, you know, post-World War II, probably not a lot of sympathy as well. So Shoko's mom was being raised by a relative. And it wasn't very warm. Shoko's mom had it very rough, very, very rough. And to what age that lasted, I really don't have a timeline. But at some point, she met Shoko's dad, and Shoko's dad's family had a post-World War II, during the Vietnam Wars, Vietnam time frame. They were in the lumber business. And they got some very good contracts providing lumber that was going into Vietnam. And their family did very, very well financially. Shoko's grandfather did. And of course, Shoko's dad was working with the company. In the end, through a variety of, again, death and then assumption of duties, Shoko's dad took over the lumber company. They did very well. Shoko's home in Okinawa is larger than most, and but in later years they had it very tough. There was a fire, a variety of things that happened. But he was a hardworking guy, and Shoko's mom was, you know, really took care of those kids, and she was a great mom. And through all this diversity. So, you know, her and I are talking on the couch And finally, I think she said something to Yuko, and he acknowledged me. And who are you? What do you want? Where are you from? It was a pretty one-way conversation. We got through that, and over time, got to know each other. And in the end, he was a good father-in-law and a wonderful mother-in-law too. So, it's you know, when I had talked barely just a few minutes to Yoko, just before Shoko left Okinawa, just talking to her on the phone, was pretty pained. It was a pretty tough conversation because I could just tell that she was suffering. And to be honest with you, very, you know, you're never pleased when a family member passes. We're left to suffer, but they go to a better place, and she's definitely in a better place, and no more pain, and everything goes associated with a prolonged illness. So, anyway, that is. I guess just to, you know, kind of a rundown. I've, you know, kind of went through this process with you guys before. And I mean, literally right now, what I have spoken about is in work. It's 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday in Japan at this moment. They're probably close to being completed with the ceremonies and interment, and the family will be returning to the house. I haven't looked at my phone lately to see what's going on, but, so here's the kind of the, to sum this all up. We did give a letter to Hawaiian Airlines regretting that she had to pull out of the training and understanding the circumstances. I'm hoping Hawaiian will ask her back in another month to resume training to be able to become a Hawaiian Airlines team member. That is yet to be seen, but I think she did the right thing in going back. In the best case, we would all went back, but you know, basically we dealt the hand we had, and the, should be back. She's going to fly back on Monday. My daughter's coming back on Thursday. So Anna's going to hang out and help the family a little bit longer, but I'm going to leave. I'm going to fly out, Saturday night and, go to the East Coast, have my meetings, next week, and I'll be back, a week from Saturday. So the show will move to the road. I will definitely, be doing two shows from the East Coast when I'm in travel, and then we'd be back here in the studio for just a week, and then I'll be turning around and going on another trip. There's going to be kind of a sequence of things. I got a bunch of stuff going on, so a busy time ahead, but the show will continue on. I appreciate everyone kind of letting me to vent here just a little bit, and we're already 33 minutes into the show, and we'll go into the rest of stuff. I do want to mention one thing too. We have extended family. Shoko has, when I say we have extended family here in Hawaii. There, you know, we've been involved, an integral part of, you know, family happenings, birthdays, Christmas, you know, all the stuff that goes on that families do. And it's always been nice to, you know, because we're kind of, when Shoko and I came here 20 years ago, we were essentially, you know, just her and I. And if had not been for both sides of the family here that, you know, showed us a lot of love and attention and guidance and all that stuff. So it's, you know, it's been nice to have been here and been close to family. And, you know, Shoko's mom had come to Hawaii numerous times, and the family here had went to Okinawa numerous times. Matter of fact, some of the family had just been there a couple of weeks before for a, to go see her, knowing the gravity of the situation. But, it's good. It really, really is. And, we've been fortunate in that aspect as well, having having this true, you know, blood Ohana, at least on Shoko's side, here in Hawaii. But those of you that are listening to the show, you're my podcast Ohana, but you guys are still Ohana at the same time. And, you know, thank you for your emails. You've already been sending them. I definitely appreciate that. And I'll pass the words to Shoko when she gets back from all of you that have dropped emails and stuff. Anyway, that kind of wraps up my thought process here for what has transgressed since Tuesday. It's kind of weird to even talk tech tonight. And maybe I won't. Maybe we'll wrap it here. And if you've tuned in the show for the very, very, very first time, I apologize, but I didn't really know how this was going to go down. I think I will wrap it. But it's a situation where we have a family member that is loved and cherished by many. And I have no doubt that the funeral procession or the number of folks that will come in and see her off will be in the hundreds. Her father, I think, had close to 3,000 people that came to the funeral. So I would have no doubt that there will be a huge, huge number of people that will be well-wishers and coming in and giving words of condolences. And that in itself is a form of therapy. And the process that the Japanese culture does is so respectful of the deceased, and a lot of thought and heart go, and you know, we do that here too, but it's at a much deeper level. And you think about, you know, being on the opposite side of the crematorium, and the entire family, and I didn't mention this, everyone takes a turn putting the cremated body into the urn, not just the three primaries. Everyone gets a chance to do that. And it's not an appropriate thing to be filmed. It's not weird. But the love that is expressed in the way they do that is like anything I have ever experienced. And you know, you know that that you're getting your family member. I think that's, and in the United States, the body goes off to the crematory and you get a box. And you know, there's a lot of people that wonder. I think that we could learn a lot from the Japanese. For those of you that are opting for cremation, you know you're getting, you know, I don't think you know that here in the United States, but in Japan, you know, without a doubt, you know. So, anyway, that's going to be it. I'm sorry. I had a tech show prepared for you tonight. That's just, I feel it's not appropriate. I'm not in the mood. And, thanks for being here. If you have comments, if you want to send Shoko an email, please don't blow out her email account. Shoko@hawaii.rr.com. If you want to drop her an email of condolences, or you can just send them to me, geeknews@gmail.com, and I will be happy to print those out or read those to her when she gets back. But anyway, that's it. I'm going to take it, and we're going to close it from here. I know folks have been hanging out on Facebook a little bit, and sorry we didn't have to do a tech show tonight, and it's just the way it is. This is my show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.